God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
You can build a. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, my friends. How nice of you to drop into the saucer pod this evening. Don't worry about it getting too crowded due to presumed space considerations. Because of alien technology, we are able to expand the dimensions of the ship to contain however many of us there are. So make yourself comfortable. This evening, we are hovering above what we call Ostblock. Over here, anyway, meaning Eastern Europe. We're hovering in that area because I was just recently there at ground level. I was quite impressed, at least in the place I was visiting. It's easily as nice and certainly as civilized as where I am now in the West. It's also friendlier and a great deal cleaner. There's no acid rain there. Here I wander in the forest and I can see the results of acid rain, and certainly in the U.S. I used to see the results. Speaking of the U.S., you got a lot more than acid rain there to worry about, but this is the first time in decades I've seen really healthy trees. I'm thinking of moving there. I've been invited to move there, and it's a solid proposition. Solid people, solid location, but there's all these fish dying here in the Western Hemisphere. They're dying in lakes, on seashores, and in commercial fish ponds. This seems logically to indicate air pollution, since commercial fish ponds are not connected to the other two, and most lakes aren't connected to either of the two either. The other two. What kind of pollution might that be? It sounds pretty serious. Should I reconsider my movements and go south of the equator? Is my survival in my own hands? Should I get all hot and bothered about my survival? Is my survival dependent on mere physical conditions? I have to say no to all of those. I'm going to rely on the ineffable like I always do and hope for the best. This less than pleasant journey of mine from point to point across this planet is not a personal commercial for wanting to stick around. I know there are much better places I could be and will be, given the opportunity. People cling to their existences and their ideas of themselves here. They cling to possessions and positions and ongoing ambitions. They cling to resentments and animosities that are often a greater driving force than love. These days, love is so misidentified that no one knows what it is anymore. What is life is a question we should all ask ourselves. What is our life? What does it mean? What is the point of our existence? If you try to assess the meaning of that by observing the lives you see taking place around you, then the meaning of life can often be very confusing. It appears that in many cases, life has no greater meaning than the consumption of foodstuffs and a manic obsession with reproductive functions. In some other cases, it seems to be about the acquisition of as much money as one can possibly get their hands on. It also seems as if there are no moral barriers to how one goes about getting that money. Yes, if one were to study existence at this time, one would be taking a grim and dim view of humanity away with their observations. What makes me optimistic is that I know there's a game plan. I know it's not all random, and whatever shape the wilder life of millions, or actually the wider life of millions, turns to is all about object lessons. You see, there is no end to life. There is only one of the places where it happens, and that is this place. You might think that there could be no more terrible place than this earth sometimes, given what we have heard about and seen at a distance, and some of us have seen it up close. I have suffered in this life, and I know how bad it can be. I also know that my suffering is nowhere near that of many another. I got off light as far as I'm concerned, so far. I would hope that the listener, the reader, and all of those who know something about my trials in this veil of darkness are aware that I believe I have gotten off light. And to be in the state of consciousness that I am in most days, well, there are no earthly treasures that can equal that. And I happen to know for a fact that I am only on the outskirts, the far outskirts of the celestial city. Omar Khayyam said in his remarkable Rubaiyat, I sent my soul into the invisible, some letter of that afterlife to spell, and by my soul returned to me and said, I myself am heaven and hell. I plan to record that collection of 114 quatrains shortly. I believe it's 114. I memorized it at 18 years of age. I used to go to the library on New York Avenue, Washington, D.C., and listen to Lord Alfred Drake recite it on a 78 RPM record, I think it was. I used to haunt the libraries. I did that for years, and how I happened to listen to that piece is interesting. Around that time, I was working at the Central Union Gospel Mission in downtown Washington, D.C. During the evenings, I would work the front desk and sign in alcoholics, drug addicts, and various deranged and homeless people, and during the day, I would work at the Bluebell Diner right around the corner. There are a lot of amazing people who are on the down and out. Oh, I could tell you tales of geniuses and former captains of industry who hit the skids because of drink, drugs, or simply insanity that came upon them from who knows where. I know there are people who think I am such a one, but if so, then they know little of my life in actuality. I use the perception of my imbalance purposely and for my own good reasons. However, most of the time I am quite sober and collected. Most especially these days, I have very little to do with anything. I'm still mad as a hatter, though, and I have no intentions of quitting that. We are all put into situations to see what we will do. It may make no sense nor have any rhyme or reason, but there is a sense to it. There is reason and there is rhyme, should you be able to find a harmony in it. I love singing harmony, and that might be because I have had to find harmony in so many places and with so many people that I do not naturally harmonize with. Well, it ain't easy. No, 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 no. Anyway, while I was working in this gospel mission, I met this one fellow who obviously had some kind of a problem, but I don't remember him drinking. I ran into him months later, and he stayed with me in my apartment for a couple of days. Psycho was playing down the street, the movie theater, but I didn't want to go see it because horror films scared the shit out of me, and even though I would watch them anyway, and this theater would play double and triple horror bills every weekend. With this fellow as my guest, though, I thought it would be okay to go see Psycho because I would have someone staying there and feel more secure when I got back home. And when I got back home, I found that he had left and I never saw him again. I had a very uncomfortable evening and several nights following. After taking acid and also having my Kundalini experience a couple of years later, I was never frightened by horror movies again. I saw real monsters and horrors on the astral plane, and they didn't scare me either because I had learned a powerful secret about all of these things, and maybe I'll talk about that next week if there is one. Anyway, the reason I bring this fellow up is that when I met him at the Gospel Mission, we had a few conversations, and during his 3 days of residency, everyone got 3 days a month to stay there and were fed and such, and then could come back the next month for 3 days. And there were other missions and places around, too. So I maybe didn't have to sleep rough all that much. I don't know. I never actually had to do that there. But in any case, he used to recite from the Rubaiyat during moments when we'd be together. And from the moment I heard the phrases, I was intoxicated and transported to another world. I'm speaking only of the Edward Fitzgerald translation. You can ignore all other translations the same way you can ignore all of the translations of the Way of Life, also called the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. Ignore all of them except for the Witter Binner edition. Because his recitation of the poem had such an impact on me, I went to the library to get a copy and also found out that there was a record of it there that was performed by an early vision of Patrick Willis. It seriously blew me away. And I listened and listened until I had memorized it entirely. Sadly, over the years, I have forgotten much of it by not taking the opportunity to perform it and lacking an audience for that kind of thing anyway. I used to memorize many larger poems and recite them in the privacy of my rooms and apartments for my own entertainment. Many years later, one of my invisible friends told me something about my connection with Omar Khayyam, and that more or less explained why the poem had such an effect on me. This served also to make me feel very good as well. Wow. All that biographical detail just because a few lines of a poem came into my head to example life here on this planet. Let me now continue from that point with my original thought. Yes, I consider myself a fortunate man. I consider myself one of the luckiest men on earth, even though my circumstances and the condition of my heart and mind don't often seem to warrant that. I've got no complaints. It's all been for my own good and greater growth. I've been through hell and high water and seen desperate and dire straits, but here I am today, in a wonderful mood, hopefully expectant about the future or whatever the future will be when it becomes the present, because there is no future or past, really. Simply visions and echoes that pour in and out of it. Yes, it can appear that we need no location such as hell when we can see it resident in all of its horrors right here. I have to tell you that there are places below this one. There are other terrible places besides which what you find here, and conversely, there are much finer and more ethereal realms that exist beyond this plane. There are places of such remarkable beauty and all else that is so wonderful and impossible to define in words that you need new senses simply to experience the places. Both of these locales and locales beyond both in either direction exist within you. If you only knew what a treasure chest, what a cornucopia of possibilities resides within you, you would leave off all of the pedestrian interests and pursuits that presently occupy your attention. You can set your sights on any realm you wish, and you can be guaranteed of getting there. Want to go to the Christian heaven? Just follow the instructions and behave according to the tenets and keep your mind on the prize, and you are good to arrive. Want to go to the Western Pure Land of the Amitabha Buddha, who is often compared to Christ? All you have to do is chant Amitabha or Namu Amida Butsu and focus on him and his kingdom. If his name is on your lips at the hour of your death, you will go there immediately. And the cool thing about the Amitabha's heaven is that you don't ever have to come back here. You can take all of your future incarnations there. Do you want to go to Allah's paradise? Just follow the instruction manual. I suggest the Sufi course if you're a Westerner. It might be a little more attractive for you. Do you want to go to the Devic realm? Become a friend of Lord Ganesh, as I have. You can become friends of any and all of these. I assure you it's possible. Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta has a book called Easy Journey to Other Planets. If you want to go see Lord Krishna, you can surely do that too. There's some other cat who wrote a book called Easy Travel to Other Planets, Travel Instead of Journey, and that came out a few years after the Prabhupada book. I don't know anything about it, but assume it's connected in some way, righteously or as a glom on. Do you want to go to hell and serve Satan? That's also possible. It's up to you. You can go anywhere you want, and you can be anyone you want. Anything you wish to be or do is available to you. If not in this life, then in some other. Life on this planet is very important for one reason. Certain things can only be accomplished here. Yet those things are the things that are least exercised here most of the time. Of course, this is a dark age. Don't be fooled by all the technology and quality of life, comfort-wise and convenience-wise. This is a very dark age, and that is why so many people are immersed in materialism. Well, you had better wake up. You really should become a great deal. Well, you really should wake up. A great deal depends on your waking up, and the cost of not waking up can be great. It is quite rare to have the opportunities that are available at this time. It's in times of greatest darkness that the greatest opportunities are available. One can make significant strides in these times. One can make strides in quantum leaps now that would be impossible at any other time. If you are hearing this, you are lucky. You are far, far more lucky if you take what is being said here to heart and act upon it. You are very lucky if you say to yourself, From this moment on, I shall endeavor to live in such a way as to guarantee the assistance of angels in my life. I will stand guard at the door of my mind and not let anything in that can compromise my upward and inward way. I will seek the help of the invisible every morning upon my awakening. I will seek the counsel of God and his emissaries at midday and at dusk. I will appeal to heaven as I lay upon my pillow at night, that I might be guided in my life, that I might be given meaningful dreams, that I might discover the capacity to wake up inside my dreams. You are very, very lucky if you have the faith and intensity of purpose to walk out of your door into the quiet of nature. Not that nature is quiet, but you know what I mean. You are very lucky should you have the faith and intensity to walk out there and fearlessly address the Great Mother and seek her wisdom and understanding. You are very lucky if you have the greatness of heart and mind to do this and to know and to believe in the efficacy of it. You are very lucky if you can walk into your room and close the door and speak to God and his angels and clearly state what your aspirations are, to pray for the right aspirations and intentions, to ask God to name you as his friend and to grant you his favor. Speaking as one who has done this and continues to and who will never, ever stop, all I can say is that it is worth it in ways for which I possess no words to articulate. There are no words in any language except perhaps that of the high angels who can articulate the value and power of this. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Yes. Don't concern yourself with what others think of you. Concern yourself only with what God thinks of you. I've done any number of stupid things on purpose in the last however many years, trying to keep certain things in people. Certain things from happening and certain people away from me. I've routinely messed with my radio shows every couple of months just to weed out the people I don't want in my life, and I can't say it's been smart. Thankfully, I don't have to do it anymore. I know it might be difficult to comprehend, but I was pretty much forced to do the things I did in my work or in some of the places I traveled to. Thankfully, that is no longer required of me. It wasn't long ago that I was informed that it would no longer be required of me. Sometimes we have to walk through all kinds of chaos before we are finally accepted as someone who isn't going to go away. If you have the sand for it, I suggest you get to it. The hour is late, and no one knows when whatever is going to arrive. Whatever. Whatever may be. Whatever. Prepare yourself ahead of time. Get your priorities in order. Discover what is important to you and stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may the essence of what I have attempted to say here in my poor and less than eloquent fashion take root in you and take hold of you and never let you go. That said, Hare Krishna! Greetings, Lord Ganesha! Hail, Lord Jesus Christ! Om Amitabha! Bismillah Irman Nirahim Karyan Bahaula, and thank you, Lady Nature. Forgive me for having not given you the great regard that my heart so often dispenses. Aloha and Haru. Yeah.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is
rising. Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.